My message title this morning is The Holiness of the Lord. And I could also name it The Worthiness of Our God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Look at that. Amen. Tell me when you got it. Amen. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, pursue peace with all people in holiness. Without no one will see the Lord. When it comes to our God, how many of us we serve a holy God? In Scripture, it gives us a couple things to go after. One is to pursue peace. How many like peace in your home? Okay, three of you. How many like peace in your home? I have a rule. You come over to my house, you're welcome, but you're going to bring your peace with you. Say amen. There's enough turmoil out there that we need some peace. But in Scripture, it says, pursue peace and holiness. Without no one will see the Lord. When we desire to be more holy in our walk, revelation can come from the Lord. That when we walk in that arena, God wants to reveal Himself, and He is a holy God. I share with the first service, when you read in the book of Revelation, every time the angels look and see, they see holy, they speak it. It's not a rerun, it's not this thing that's coerced, it's a new glimpse of His holiness. That every time it's a fresh revelation of holy, holy, holy. When we see Him, we'll see Him in the fullness, the beauty of His holiness. More than ever, Christians need to have a holy walk. It separates us from being religious people. Because you could take yourself, put yourself on a mountain, be in a cabin all by yourself with nothing playing, nothing on, and still not be holy. Amen. How many of us, that work is done by the Holy Spirit? There are times where I know of no known sin, but the Holy Spirit will check me, Lord, forgive me of all my sins, and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That work of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy. When we look at our God, He's truly a holy God. Can you imagine one day Jesus will walk up to you and know everything about you? Won't that be wonderful? His throne, you're going to see this in a minute, is enthroned in holiness. When I see Jesus, can you imagine walking on this planet like Him? He never had a curse word to share. Every thought was obedience to His Father. How many think that when you start to live holy, you stand out? Truthfully, you're different. Now, I share with the first service, I don't like shaky Christianity. I don't like goofy Christianity. I believe people can be real. I can talk about a whole myriad of subjects. Say amen. How many of that? But I also can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be real people. But one thing I do know is that if you just be a Christian, your speech is different than the world. Somewhere it's seasoned with salt. Sooner or later, it's like there's a difference there. And truthfully, if you're around people that don't know the Lord, and you do, sooner or later, somebody's going to come up to you and say, will you pray for my family? It makes a difference because we're in this world. We're salt and light in this present age. But if our lifestyle doesn't change, I'm here to say we are just like the world. I don't like it when the church tries to be like the world. We can't be like the world. There's a false teaching going on. Well, if we do this, the world will be attracted to it. You can't be worldly and attract the world. You may get a crowd of people, but there's no change in that. If we want to make a difference, we need to be holy people. I said we need to be holy people. That makes a difference. When somebody can say, I want what you have, hallelujah. How do you have the strength today? How do you have the joy today? Oh, that's good preaching. In Romans 1 verse 4 says this, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness from the resurrection of the dead. Even Moses, he spoke about God's holiness. In Psalm 82, verse 2 says, preserve my life, for I'm holy. You are my God, your servant. I trust you. In Exodus 15, verse 11, it says this, who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? When we come into worship service here, it's time to let the morning melt away. I'm going to worship you in holiness. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. How glorious are you? You know what? There's no one like us in all the earth. We have the capacity to worship Almighty God the way we should. We can lift up holy hands. We have a voice to praise. Now, I'll be honest in here. How many ever sung the songs, but your mind is thinking of something else? Okay, about six of you. How many ever been worshiping the Lord and truthfully, you've been singing the songs, but you're just singing the words? I asked the first service, how many ever had a vile thought go over your mind in worship? Say amen. How many knows it's all connected in those areas? But sometimes you got to do battle in your thought life to say, you know what? I'm not thinking that. I'm not thinking that until that thought dissipates. But there are times where you can engage your mind, your body, and your spirit unto your God. Those are glorious times. Even Jesus, he didn't have a curse word to share because it wasn't in him. I'm going to want to get to the place where, like, you don't even think it anymore. Yes or no? See, we need to renew our minds in the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be working in us. It's working in our spirit, but it also needs to renew our mind. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, this body here is our casing. The real us is in there. That spirit man, that spirit that goes back to God who gave it. In Psalm 47, verse 8 says this, God's throne reigns over the nations. He sits on the holy throne. When I think of his throne high and lifted up, it's a holy throne. In Psalm 48, verse 1, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. I mean, remember that song, the old AG song. The truth is that's his whole, that's his place. His mountain is called holy. And it was so holy that he instructed Moses, don't let anyone touch the mountain. Don't let any animal hear when he came down in Shekinah glory. Now, what sight would that be? How many think that would be pretty like, dude, that's pretty awesome. His presence came down upon that. But it came to the place where God revealed himself to the people and they said, no, we don't want to see that anymore. Just talk to Moses. I mean, I think they forfeited a whole lot of opportunities. Some people don't want to approach God because he is holy. They would rather enjoy their sin for a season. How many of those, you can forfeit your whole life because you don't want to come to that place? Now, Scripture does say sin is fun for a season, but how many knows that season is real short? And then you pay the price for your sins. Sometimes it's your life. Say amen. How many are glad you're saved? How many are glad God's working on you? How many have changed over the years? You haven't arrived yet, but you're changing. Those are good things. Without the Holy Spirit, you don't become holy. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. There are a lot of religious folks that do a lot of religious things. And sometimes they do more things than even the Lord even commands. They want to make sure they're right. How many of us, you can just get your heart right by asking them? But the fruit of that is that I desire to be more holy. Say amen. What about his speech? In Psalm 60, verse 6, says this, God has spoken in his holiness. I rejoice, it says. Now this helps me, I share with the first service, that the Lord won't lead you into temptation. He'll lead you out of a temptation. If there's a wall of temptation and there's no door, we need to stand in that place, say, Lord, make a way for me. God will cut a door. But when he speaks in holiness. That's why he'll never do this. He'll never say, hey, listen to me. Why don't you just go to the bar and pound a few down to see if you're saved? That isn't the Lord. Say amen. And if you hear that voice, that's not God. If you always remember he speaks in his holiness, it starts to eliminate a whole lot of stuff that isn't him. You also can recognize that, man, that's not of the Lord. Because there's sometimes that We're so quick we can answer ourselves when we ask the Lord something. Say amen. And then find out a little bit later that was just me, wasn't him. If you're not sure it's the Lord, how many of you can ask again? Hello? How many of you can ask again? There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you lacked faith. You're learning his voice. My sheep hear my what? It starts to mean, listen to me, the shepherd is always speaking over the sheep. When they become mature enough to be able to respond, that's when they move. But from a little one, the shepherd is always speaking, so the sheep learn the voice. And the mature sheep should be closer to him to help the younger ones get closer. This place needs to be a hospital for the hurting. I need people to help doctor up those that are bruised and hurt. Say amen. How many of those that takes maturity to take them from there to there? I worked with real sheep at one time in my life, and when it was feeding time, no matter how many mama had, mama made sure she got up to the trough and ate. How many of those, if mama doesn't have it, the little ones don't get it? Amen. Oh, say amen. So there was time for mom to get filled. This is time for us to get filled. Because there will come in one day sheep that need some nourishment. You ever notice when you get out in the world and away from God, you start to drain? Hello? You start to get full of burrs? You don't have the fresh anointing going over you to take care of you. Now, when it comes to sheep, we'd always put some oil on their ears because flies would start to chew on them. And there isn't a barnyard in the world that doesn't have flies. So the shepherd had to do more work to tend to the sheep. If the shepherd doesn't care for the sheep, he's not a shepherd. He's a hireling. And when the wolf comes, he's going to be the first to exit and leave him alone. Oh, say amen. It's messy work when you got to start to minister. You got to start pouring in the oil and the wine. Say amen. Say amen. I can tell who's a sheep and who's a goat by the time they spend near the shepherd. Goats will not come near. They'll want to be around. Goats chew on everything. I remember a goat chewed on my mirror on my car. It wasn't even tasty. It was chewing on my mirror. I came out, and my mirror has gnaw marks in it. I couldn't believe it. I was so bummed. Amen? Now, I mean, it'd be a small thing, but try to match a set of older mirrors on a classic car. I had a Corvette at that time. Come out, my mirror's chewed on. I thought it was a dog at first. And I look and I go, who let the goat out? The goat doesn't know any different. Just eye level chewing on the mirror. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I mean, sometimes you need to be filled with the Spirit. Yes or no? You need to be filled with the Spirit. So when God speaks, he speaks by his holiness. He also swears by his holiness. In Psalm 86, verse 35, I have sworn by my holiness, he was talking to David, I will not lie to David. What I love about the Lord is that he'll always be honest with us. There's no gray areas. There's no shadow of turning. So if you ask him an honest question, he will give you an honest answer. If the answer is not honest, listen to me, it's not the Lord. He swears by his holiness. That means he'll speak that area. Sometimes it may take a little bit to grip it. Say amen. But how many of us, sometimes that's just what we need. Today more than ever, we try to hide so much of our conversation because we're afraid of offending everybody. You got to be politically correct and walk this way and say this here. Do you know what? Jesus would have ticked off a whole lot of people. Say amen. How many of us that the religious folks after service wanted to throw him off a cliff? Now think about this. The people who should have been walking in holiness had a murderous intent in their heart after a sermon that Christ preached. And Jesus knew it. No wonder he said, you love your father the devil. For he was a murderer from the beginning. He was speaking the truth to that spirit that was motivating people. When I think of that, I'm like, man, the services were so different. Sometimes we think it was all glorious. He had to deal with a whole lot of stuff. So, amen. The religious folks just hated him, but the common folks received him. Say amen. But then Jesus spoke to a lot of them too, says, listen to me, many of you follow me, not because of this, but because of the loaves and fishes. How many of us, we need to keep our intent right. Why you're here is because you love the Lord God. Why you serve him, because you love the Lord God. That means Monday is no different than Sunday, even though obviously we gather together. That it's throughout the week, that Tuesday is just as holy as Sunday is. Amen? How much we need to keep that within us, even in our workplace. Our speech needs to be that way in holiness. It starts to weed out a lot of conversations. Amen? I'll talk about a whole lot of things. But the truth is that I want to have my speech be one that's of power. Say amen. In Psalm 110 verse 3, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauty of your holiness. I like that. Your people, we are volunteers in the day of his power, in the beauty of this holiness. Then God use us. The more we desire to be more holy, the more the Lord's going to reveal himself to us. And the more we position ourselves for God to use us. I shared with the first service. I belong to a car club. We meet once a month. I've obviously not been able to go for a few. But last week I went. I felt strong enough to go. It was good to see the guys. Well, most of these guys, they don't know the Lord. So there's a meeting, then they have a short meal, then we leave. Well, most of them drink. Now, I'll order a Sprite. But I don't tell them they can't do what they're going to do. I can sit at the table and drink my Sprite and be just as happy. I'm not ashamed of what I've drank either. Say amen. But I'm not going to condemn these gentlemen. The Lord touch them. They're on my prayer list. But it's always amazing that when we have a group time for like a banquet, they'll ask me to pray. Or if they cuss and say some four-letter words, somebody will go, excuse me. I don't tell them that. I don't say, hey, watch your language. I mean, his holiness is there. Because the Lord is there. So God convicts. I love it when God does it. I don't have to do anything. There are sometimes I go, no, it's no problem, man. Just go on. Let's finish your conversation. God will touch. How many of you become a witness? So they have enough salt to know that that seasoning is different than what I have. That's how we should be. Not a gag, but seasoning. Say amen? And there isn't a guy that privately doesn't come up and say, you know what, my wife needs a touch. Would you mind praying for her? Amen? Privately, I'll pray with them. When he invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house, I mean, that was life-changing. Last week I mentioned if the Lord said, I'm coming over to your house after service, how many would exit a little bit early? Want to straighten things up? What would I cook him? What was he going to eat? I saw him eat fish before. Maybe that's a good thing. How many of you would be thinking about it? Lord, all I got is this. What if he came over and said, Father, touch this and multiply it. All of a sudden, now you got enough to feed the whole neighborhood. I mean, it would be a little intimidating to have the Lord come over. But what I love about it is Zacchaeus was so touched by the Holy Spirit, he began to confess his sins and even what he'd done wrong. Even if he wronged somebody else, we need more of that presence in our homes. Come on, we're the church in the world. Without holiness, no man will see God. No wonder the church is so blind today. Oh, I'm preaching now. We have no holiness. We become an assembly of believers, but without the power. Oh, that's good preaching today. Bless God. Amen. In Isaiah 63, verse 15, His habitation is one of holiness. Look down from heaven and see your habitation, holy and glorious, your zeal and your strength. His house shall be called a house of holiness. Isaiah 62, verse 9, he gathered and ate, praised the Lord, and brought us together in his holy courts. Even during the millennial reign, there's going to be a highway of holiness. Isaiah 35, verse 8, there shall be a highway there, a road, and shall be called the highway of holiness. Everything the Lord does, he comes out of that. That's why he's calling people a holy generation, a chosen one. When he looked at Israel, now I often marvel at this, that God chose Israel. Of all the nations that were out there, he chose Israel. So they're going to be my people. Okay? So I can't live with that. Then what was Israel's whole purpose? To serve the Lord your God. That he said, I would drive out every false god from your land. Serve me in holiness. And I'll make you the head and not the tail. So Israel would become the light to every community, every generation, and every nation that was known during the time. That every nation can go, there's no God like the nation of Israel. I mean, has God designed it that way? Now we have the church. The world needs to look at the church and say, there's no God like their God. There's no God like their God. They're mighty God, does wonders in the midst. But when Israel turned their back on it, they became powerless. And then became enslaved to other nations. Until they saw, they repented, and then God raised them out of that. That's a terrible cycle to go. Don't go back into sin. Because if you sin, you become a slave to sin. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be free. There's great freedom in holiness. To me, it's like a giant football field. There's boundary lines on each side, but man, you can run anywhere in there and enjoy yourself. Amen? But then when you mature, you start to think about your brother. If this is going to offend them, then I don't want to do it. It may not be sin, but I don't want to do that. Amen? My wife and I have walked out of movies before. Because within the first 5 minutes, oh man, he just blasphemed God. You're saying this. I don't need to be here today. I thought it was going to be better. Amen? Whether I get my money back or not, so be it. How many of us we can be that example? Sometimes if we blow it, we can say, you know what? I'm sorry about that. I need to be a better witness in this arena. But notice it comes out of our speech. But it's also our conduct and character. Holiness needs to be in us. Renewing our mind and then speaking out of our mouth. Oh, this is good preaching today. In Isaiah 62 verse 12, and he shall call them a holy people, redeemed of the Lord. How many want to be called a holy people? I do. I want to be called a holy people, redeemed of the Lord. I don't have any problem when we get to heaven, we're going to be holy people. But it needs to start now. In this day and generation, where everything bombards our minds, our hearts, our time, that we can still be holy, we will stick out big time. And just be in us. How many of us we need it today? People need that. I struggle when churches decide they don't want to be a church anymore. They just want to be a social group. This church will never be a social group. It will be the church of Almighty God. I'm serious. I know of pastors that are afraid to preach sermons because they're afraid they're going to offend the people. The people are already offended. They're just going to bring it out in a different way. The churches need to preach again Christ and Him crucified. Oh, amen? There needs to be conviction in the house. Listen, if the Lord convicts you, praise Him for it. But listen to me, if I'm looking at you when I'm preaching, don't think just because I'm looking at you means you're, you know, a super bad person. It just means I may not be looking your way at the time. How many of us, if you're convicted, it's because the Lord God. Hallelujah. I want to be more pure. I haven't arrived yet, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm in the process of restoration. But that process will continue till one day I'm lifted up into glory. Amen? Even Paul said, you know, there's things that I should be doing, I'm not. Things I'm not doing, I should be doing. But thanks be to God who gives me the victory. We need to speak that. You got some areas God needs to work on? Give me the victory. How many here still need to have your mouth cleansed a little bit? Amen. Lord, take that coal off the altar and purge, like you did for Isaiah and Jeremiah. Purge me, O Lord God. I don't even want to think evil. I still got some ways to go. But when Jesus didn't open his mouth, I could tell that wasn't in him. Amen. Yet they were so evil, speaking so many detestable things. I really believe if everything that was recorded from the time he went from the garden, every word spoken to the cross, we'd be so embarrassed as a person. Because every hateful thing, when Jesus said, this is the hour of darkness, the manifestation of the power of Satan, every word that you could imagine was spoken to him. Yet he took it. How many of us, we have a great Savior? Amen. I said, we have a great Savior. Amen. Listen, when people come against you, they're ultimately coming against him. We need to stand out in these last days. I said, we need to stand out in these last days. Not that we're trying to make a spectacle of ourselves, but we're different. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We shouldn't be ashamed, amen? It's the Spirit of holiness. When we come together, we should worship in that holiness. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29, says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring honor, bring an offering before him. Worship the Lord in his holiness. Fear him above all. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. But we give glory to his name. We bring an offering. We come before him and worship him in the beauty of holiness. When we get there in heaven, no problem. Pure people. All flesh, all that dross, all that's burned up. But what about now? Can we do it now? Whenever I'm ill, I really recognize the spirit side of my life. That my body's doing this, but inside there's peace. Inside there's a song of joy. Amen? The casing may be struggling, but my spirit's not touched. Amen? How many of your spirit's not touched by COVID? That's God who gave it. But I've noticed that that battlefield becomes the mind. That I still need the mind. Even if my body doesn't feel like it, I need the mind the things of the Spirit. Say amen. There are times I only could speak in the Spirit during some sickness, throwing up. But inside, God was totally cool. Amen. Lord, you know where I'm at. Hallelujah. Lord, you can bring a touch upon this body. You're a glorious one. I mean, you can speak the victory even if you don't feel like it. We can't let our feelings stop us from worshiping him, from serving him. We got to come against every thought of disobedience. And it's a challenge. It isn't easy. Sometimes you got to push through. Sometimes God is a million miles away, even though he's right next to you. You got to look past those things. So you know what? He's an ever-present help in time of need. You need to speak it to yourself sometimes. Hallelujah. But it all comes in that time. Look, you're awesome and mighty. It's who you are. You didn't inflict me with sickness. He didn't do that. We live in a sin-cursed world. Amen? I mean, we can blame Adam for that situation. But ultimately the enemy. He's the author of everything that's evil. But even in the midst of that, God will help. Amen? I appreciate you praying for me. Keep praying. You can pray for my feet. I still have struggle with my feet. My nerve endings are another thing they didn't tell me about. Amen? Every now and then I can feel it pulsating with nerves. So it feels like I'm walking on extra skin. But my hair's coming back, glory to God. So I'll take small victories. Amen? When we come in, I challenge you next week to do this. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Get to the place where, like, your body, your mind, and your spirit are all loving God. How many of us, when you lock in, it's like incredible. I ask you if you've ever wandered in worship. Maybe you did today. Did anybody's mind wander during worship? Okay, five people. Now there's seven people. Now there's eight. Now there's 10. Anybody else mind? Now I'm not saying you didn't sing and didn't love the Lord. Now there's 12. 13. 14. Anybody else, your mind kind of wandered during worship? There's 15. There's 16 now. Be honest. The rest of you are liars. How many of us, it's possible to sing unto Him and be thinking about something else? I've done it. I've done it at Thanksgiving, right around Thanksgiving time. Oh man, turkey's later on today. I'll be honest with you. There's mashed potatoes and gravy. How great you are. And then snap out of that and go, man, what was I doing? That can all wait. It can all wait. Then Lord, I want to discipline myself. That this body, you're going to lift hands onto God. If I can't lift my hand, I'll lift my pinky. Amen? I'm going to engage my body, my soul, and my spirit. I mean, that's powerful worship. We got to train ourselves. We're so bombarded with everything, but if we come in with that mindset, I'm already a worshiper. Say amen. How many of us worship just isn't here on Sunday? I'm already a worshiper. I shared this with the first servant. If I shared this before, bear with me. I was downtown. It's been a little while. I had to go to the county building. And it's an older building, and I pressed the elevator to go up. And I was pretty much there by myself. Then some people walked up, so I held the door, and they got in. And more people came and held the door. They got in. And soon the elevator was full. I was standing in front of a little pad there, so I pushed the buttons people wanted. And I just bowed my head. Lord, you're so awesome, so mighty, so glorious. Lord, I love you, Lord. You're an awesome God. And I was doing it a little louder than I thought. Floor goes to the next floor, ding, people get out, and Lord, you're so great, so awesome, so mighty. Well, I had to go up a few more floors, and I remember looking back, and the people in the elevator were doing this, just had their head down. I don't know if they were Christians or not. I don't know if they were just thinking in their head, man, shut this guy up because he can't sing. But I was having a moment with God, and they were experiencing His presence. How many of us, we can bring the presence with us? I wasn't looking be the spectacle in the elevator. I was just loving on Him. Hallelujah. I've seen it happen in the grocery store, praying for the person in front of me. The cashier on this side and the cashier on this side stopped what they were doing and bowed their heads. How many people need a touch? Come on, we can bring that presence with us. Imagine Jesus, the epitome of holiness, walking into your house. How many think it changed the environment? Religious folks don't want it. Wasps don't want to come near. Only the bees want to get the honey. Listen to me, there are people that won't like you just because you live for the Lord. Just because you serve Him. But that's their deal. You need to serve your God and love on Him. That makes all the difference. But there's going to be somebody that wants what you have. There's going to be somebody that's hungry. Say, you know what? I need that joy, the strength you have. I need the holiness that's in your life. How did you get all that? Hallelujah. By serving your God. Amen. I got to close here. I got a whole lot more to go. Are you enjoying this message? How many of us, we serve a holy God? Then Lord, help me to walk that holy walk. Monday you'll be challenged. But Lord, help me walk that holy walk. Let me bring that presence with me. And I've learned this. If I can get it in my heart, I can get it in my head, it'll soon come out of my mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what speaks? Then Lord, let me walk that area. Let my conversation always be seasoned with salt, that I know how to give account to every man. I can talk about a million things, but I want to season my conversation with salt. Hallelujah. I remember one guy, he didn't really know me at all. And everyone's cussing at the table. And the guy goes, you don't cuss, do you? I said, you know what? Not anymore. How many of us, I left the door open there? How many of us, it always leads, well, why? Well, let me tell you why. Because God's cleaning me up. Say amen. How many of us, God will always open up a door. But the other side of the equation is, when we desire not to be holy, We shun the things of the Lord. And the last thing we want to do is acquaint with people who are. That's why backsliding becomes so detrimental. We should be more in the house of God, yet we desire not to be. Amen? I'll make this statement to you. No matter what you've done in your own personal life, no matter how much you've sinned, make sure you make it into the house. Confess your sins. God never said, get all holy, then come. No, come as you are. He even made it so clear, it'd be red like scarlet. It'd be awful, then come to me that way. Hallelujah. And repent, I'll make you white as snow. How many of you, that's a good God. And what I love about Jesus, when it was challenged, when people put him to the test, he always was so honest. Even people caught in the very act of the sin, Jesus would say, if you're without it, you cast the first stone. How would that make you feel? They drug you publicly out. And what were you doing in that? We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. I always marvel, where were you at? Maybe it was with you. Were you looking in the window? A peeping Jim? Notice it's not Tom. Peeping Jim? Say amen. How many knows that there's so many things open for that? Like, what were you doing there? The law says this. What do you say, Jesus? Notice law and grace came head to head. And he was going to give her grace and mercy. I hope it changed her life, whoever it was. I hope she walked away saying, you know what? I need a lifestyle change. Because that's what God offers to us. The world needs to know it. That what we have, they can have also. But if we don't live it, and bless the Lord, if churches don't get this right, they're going to miss a whole generation. And the Lord will hold it accountable. Amen? He'll start with the leadership of the church. What did you do with my son? How many of you, that's serious business. You caused a whole generation to stumble or think they're okay to stay in their sin. That wasn't the gospel. Come on, we need to live it out. Hallelujah. We accept anyone to come in. Come as you are. You're going to leave changed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Enjoy this morning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Lift your hands towards heaven. Father, we surrender to you. Lord, if there's anything displeasing in our life, Lord, reveal it to us. Lord, help us to walk more holy as you're holy. Forgive us of every trespass and sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now make it personal. Maybe there's an area the Lord's working on in you. Maybe a speech or a thought or an action. Maybe it's a habit that the Lord's trying to free you from. Whatever that is, give it over to him. He's gentle. He'll gently lead you in righteousness. Father, change us as a church. Change me, Lord God. I want to be more like you in all that I say and do. And Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need according to your riches and glory. Lord, help us to be truly light and salt to this land. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.